Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Tom Brady hopes to play at least 45.
Can we talk about that later?
They've been searching for Brady's potential successor.
Lightning struck in the name of Thomas Edward Patrick.
What would you say happens at 32?
The thing about the Patriots is they realize that they've got to get a good player at 32.
The more you get away with, the more okay you get with trying to get away with it.
And they give you cash, which is just as good as money.
I can't wait for OMF's breakdown of last night's game.
I'm more concerned with who is actually subscribing to PlayStation View.
Great. To Coyle!
Julian Edelman chugging a beer was awesome.
Love you, buddy.
Probably got everyone fired up, including us.
When I say Boston, you say,
hey, keep the gas on in there!
Right now.
The guy who is nothing more than a glory hole ball stopper.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, what the hell is he talking about?
How did that end?
I don't know.
I mean, did that seem like it went down a dark dark tunnel? Only James.
Now, he starts somewhere, and then by the end of it, you're sitting there going, please, somebody get this individual some help, will you? Boy, this is a ho-hum, another series won by a Boston team.
Yeah, postseason.
I don't know about you guys. Kind of bored with it.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm bored with it. I mean, this is, come on.
You know what? I finally realized what you guys were talking about with this whole nothing like Game 7.
What'd you think?
I realized
it was good,
but,
wasn't it?
It had nothing to do with the Bruins game. Not one thing to do with the Bruins game.
So which one was it?
The Vegas Knights and the San Jose Sharks.
Your dream's crushed.
Oh, that was good.
That's Game 7
magic. I stayed
magic.
Up for that.
Okay, so this fuss about Game 7, it's like, whatever.
The Bruins game was good last night. You have to admit,
It was a blowout. It was 5-1.
No, it was not a blowout.
Had it from the beginning.
Matter of fact, were you not sitting there at the end of the first period, and I was watching the NBC telecast, and in between the periods, they were, you know, going on, and how good Toronto, how good Toronto was in the first period, and yet the Bruins had a 2-0 lead. You're sitting there going, you got to be
kidding me.
Well,
they got outplayed for about, what, the first 15 minutes?
Yes.
And then I would say the last five.
Yeah. And then the second period, they were outplayed. But Tuukka Rask was unbelievable.
It's safe to say that, you know, the Bruins moved on because it's just Toronto. It's what the Bruins do. You can make the argument that Toronto, still in that series, might have played better. But the Bruins win the series.
I think you can make that argument.
I think you can.
Right.
But, I mean, once again, it turned into just, Freddie Anderson, like that first goal. I mean, it was.
That was a killer.
Nordstrom. I mean, right there, you're like, okay, this guy can't handle it. You wondered about Rask, and you worried about Freddie Anderson. I thought Rask was very good in this game. He was outstanding in this game. I don't know if he stood in his head, but obviously he was very good. Turnovers in your own end. I mean, that was it, wasn't it? Like, I'm pretty much 2-1 game, all three of them. Dermott for Toronto, and then all of a sudden Gardner just left it for Johansson, and then Moore coughs it up on the boards. I mean, it was just take care of your puck. Nobody scores. You had three huge turnovers creating opportunities.
If I was to tell you that the three stars, excluding Rask, of this game were going to be guys on your third and fourth line,
Corrali.
Would
Corrali
you believe me? I mean, that's so you talk about Toronto, you're doing Toronto things. So,
Rask wasn't a star, one of them?
Well, I said, you know, leaving him out
because he obviously
was the number one star.
Ooh, okay?
Everyone can't get a star, Glenn. You got to be really careful about who you give him out to.
Who was your number one star in the Golden Knights Sharks game?
The dude that went down and got all bloody.
I was going to say, who's the guy that got hurt? The guy that fell on purpose and acted like he was hurt?
Yeah.
Is that unheard of? I don't want to sit there and
bleeding.
Talk about it. That's crazy.
That was unbelievable. A 5-minute major. For cross-checking.
When
the official claimed that it was across the face, and yet you look at the video.
They
have instant replay. Can't they go to the instant
cross
replay?
The chest.
No, they can't.
Awful call. And he got buried by the other guy.
But you know
what
it is.
He just lost his balance a little bit, and the other guy buried him.
But it's not the act. What it is the result. The injury. You sit and go, oh, my God, they have blood. Like they've never seen blood before in an NHL game.
It's hockey.
Right. 5-minute major.
So you got more into that one than this one, huh?
It was good.
It runs in my blood.
It was good. Okay, my
this was a good game.
No, it was. And I'm going to be honest with you.
This was all hockey night in the Fourier household. No. This is good.
I was excited. I was angry, but for all the wrong reasons. Because as you guys know, I'm more about being right.
Watching hockey for one of the rare times.
Okay, I wanted to be right. Yeah. I said Toronto in six. Yeah. And I said, okay, fine, Toronto in seven. And actually, in the second period, I was like, all right, here we go.
They're taking over.
This looks, but they only get one goal.
Yeah.
And there are so many more opportunities for Toronto, but I feel like they were either swiping at the puck and missing it, or the puck was just sitting there, and nobody could get to it.
Bruins made a lot of mistakes, giveaway, stuff like that, but Rask was back there, and he was good. You're right. He didn't stand on his head.
He was good.
But he made all of the saves that he had to make. I would say this was not Toronto choking. They didn't come in without life or the moment was too big. They were out. They might have outplayed the Bruins.
Here's what I've heard.
Yet Rask stopped every puck he had to stop.
Here's what I've heard.
That's hockey.
It is hockey.
That's hockey. That's the hockey.
You say puck luck. Puck luck. Yeah, because hockey term. Because it's just no. That you saw again.
Ice
I just keep looking
ice
at
was
it.
Good.
Yes. Well, the ice was cold.
Well,
ice
they won. So the ice was
yeah, good. They said the temperature
was firm.
Was cold
can
in the
I
building?
Say firm?
Firm.
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 So you get what you want, right? So now it's a clear shot to the Stanley Cup.
You don't
right?
want misty,
it's a clear
misty
shot.
Ice. Sure
nobody's firm. Left. Forget about Columbus. Tampa's out. Everybody's fired.
That's
fire
not true.
Up the duck boat.
See, no, I don't believe that. See, and I know people are already doing that because you're looking at. Suppose Washington wins tonight. Anybody feeling real good about going up against Washington in a seven-game series? Talk about history. There's some history there. Bad history.
I don't even think it matters.
Who knows? Maybe Columbus right now. Even though they don't have the same names that the Lightning have, maybe they're a better team right now. I mean, that's the difference of hockey versus what you get with basketball.
Yeah, I'd be careful taking them a little bit too lightly. They swept the best team in hockey. But as we predicted, I'm looking at Pavada right now, the current odds. The Bruins are the favorites to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Now, we'll see if Washington wins tonight. That could change.
Oh, who was it? Should have bet on this.
Somebody yesterday was all worked up that the Bruins were the lowest odds.
They
had to win a game against Toronto to do it.
It's very confusing.
It's very confusing for
when you're in a game seven, it's tough to have the highest odds to win the cup, even though you have the best record.
We got a degenerate gambler. Yeah,
they haven't exactly moved on to the second round yet. That's why Washington is fourth right now, plus 600.
Makes
Bruins
sense,
plus
'cause they have another game to win.
And if they win game seven,
they move up.
I wouldn't be surprised. If they are, like, say, plus 400, plus 25s in the
favorite. So the Bruins got lucky.
They didn't get lucky.
Right?
Nah.
So they didn't earn the win. Toronto gave it away to them.
They didn't play a flawless game, I'll tell you
that. They tucked it away, and they just ran away all the way.
Well, they did, but, you know, I wasn't sure they could do. You know, so much reliance on that first line, and they had to get them going. I remember talking about they couldn't play to a push with Tavares and Marner and those guys on that line. Marner was a disappearing act, by the way. And they did. Because, as you pointed out, third and fourth line, they were outstanding. You know, Johansson, I mean, he's killed, I think, Anderson before.
Yes.
Where he was before. But that first goal by Nordstrom, Corrali with the third goal, that was the big one.
Yeah.
I mean, that one kind of almost felt like it came out of nowhere. Yeah. It was like a one-on-three.
On a mistake, yep.
Just speed and a beautiful shot, and you're like, oh, okay. Because at that point, you didn't know where the hell this game was going to go. It was 2-1. You felt like Toronto had the momentum.
So, would you admit it? It was a fun game. I mean, overtime's a little different. The late game you watched was a little bit different because there was a very controversial, you know, 5-minute major, and you know, it ended up in overtime. But this was a fun game last night, no?
Sure, okay, but the wrong team won.
It's such a bitter bastard.
The wrong team won. Hold on, you know, it doesn't. I don't care if I'm doing a show.
It's all about you being right.
Okay,
it's all about you being right.
You think they earned that win?
Who? The Bruins?
You thought
yes.
you didn't
no,
earn that
yes,
win?
Yes, they did.
Oh, please.
Because
they did not earn anything.
No, Tuukka Rask made every stop he had to make.
On their
so
glass.
For all the heat.
And that's why it's so lame. So you give up all your best players. Who are the best players on the Bruins? Who are the best guys?
Bergeron, Marchand.
Pastrnak, Marchand.
Pasta.
Okay. Yeah.
Krejci.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Chara.
Okay.
Sorry,
so
Wiggy.
This is basically the equivalent of
Wiggy was so off again today.
A practice squad player.
Who, Wiggy? I don't know much about hockey. Does he know anything about
He should go to the Dale Arnold School of Hockey.
Chara's,
sit there and just watch old films.
Chara's a liability?
Yeah. Milt Schmidt films, you know?
Well, the biggest.
Liability?
Who's more talented than Christian Ford?
Chara and Bergeron. Defending that first line, that was not good in this series?
I guess not.
What am I missing?
Well, no.
What am I missing?
Well, now Christian, of course they earned it. They took advantage of turnovers. How do they not earn it? Yeah, I mean, they might have been outplayed, but Tuukka saved
like
them defensively.
It's like a fumble.
Wasn't a fumble.
Basically
how was it that John Tavares...
It wasn't a 5-1 game, but it was a good win.
How was it that John Tavares didn't do major damage in the series? He has nothing to do with that? Chara and maybe Bergeron, that first line and your first defensive pairing, that doesn't have something to do with
well, yeah, you know,
diminishing
when
you know.
When you do look back to it, and it's funny because I was reading an article how Bruce Cassidy outcoached Mike Babcock. Fluto wrote this one. And
very Chris Gasper-ish.
Isn't that just about who won Game 7? Yes. I'm just saying. I mean,
so if they win games, they win game seven.
If they lose game seven, you know, and we're watching this and he keeps banging his head with this Bergeron line, go up against Tavares. So all of a sudden it would have turned into he needed to get Bergeron away from Tavares so that line could get going more so and while they're at home, right? Last change. Instead, it turns into he was a genius for leaving him out there versus Tavares and Marner because it shut that line down.
Yeah, I would say this.
Right? I mean, it's about the result of Game 7.
Well, they
coach too.
They have to write something. And, you know, Mike Babcock is one of the great coaches in the game. He's won a cup before, so they're looking at it saying maybe we can beat up on him a little bit. And the line changes in three of the games. Right? Changing people up obviously was a factor. Though, did Pasternak do an awful lot in this series? Anybody looking at it's got to be a lot better in the next series, right?
So this is why that, you know, what line I saw that article. It's like, you know, Cassidy out, Coach Babcock, and I'm sitting there going, a great goaltender, even if he's not great, if they just show up huge on one night, solves all your problems.
Sure does.
Overcomes every issue you have.
Sure does. You can
you could do whatever. You can make tons of mistakes.
Go ahead,
he saves your ass every single time.
Regardless if you
have your legs or not, if your goalie is on point, then he'll save everybody.
I'm not saying that, you know, he didn't have, you know, they won the series. You know, and Fluto gets into the power play and how they move them around, little X's and O's in hockey. But, you know, when he lost Kadri, he lost his, you know, third line center.
Yep.
And, you know, Nylander's not that guy. He's a liability defensively. So he had to do some different things as well because he lost an important part of his team. It was a good win.
Well, Kadri could have been.
And now they're probably the favorites to win the cup. And we got to wait and see what Washington does tonight.
I know people are going to go crazy about that. We'll get into
it
in a second with expectations.
Boston go to the finals again.
Kadri could have helped in the last game. Where Boston was really physical, right? The last game up in Toronto, they were really physical. So maybe Kadri could match it up. All right, we're going to get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. Here's the drill. We'll talk a lot of Bruins. We'll get into some other stuff as well. We've got the NFL draft coming up on Thursday, and there are all sorts of rumors
tomorrow,
out there.
Huh?
Yes, all sorts of rumors out there. Probably none of them true, but we'll throw them out to you. We'll get into some stuff with the NBA. How about Damian Lillard last night? That was another one. I was going back and forth. That game was phenomenal.
Busy night.
Bad shot.
And the Red Sox just dropped two yesterday.
Skip, how you doing? I guess it's all my fault.
It is all your fault. You were on the pregame show last night. You screwed it all up.
Yep.
And Alex Cora will join us at 2:30.
It's actually good news.
What's that? 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I think it's important to understand is that he can't bench Nylander.
Why not?
I think it's time for Babcock to leave the city. He just can't roll through lines.
Why not?
I mean, this guy is just stubborn. Let's say bye, Babcock. There's a couple of sayings out there, Jeff, that the fish rots from the head.
The questionable decisions by Babcock are definitely questionable.
I'm done.
I don't know how to coach an NHL team, and I don't know why he did it.
Babcock is such an arrogant man, he would do anything to prove his point. Babcock wanted to see him fail so that he could be right. They're not ready yet. Their body of a 21-year-old is not the same body as somebody that's 29. Or 30.
Yeah, it's better. It's in better shape.
No.
How can you say that?
No.
We got to move on. We got a lot of callers. Thanks for the call.
Everybody in Toronto is pissed
questionable
off.
Calls.
Yep.
Definitely questionable.
I tell you what.
How about the fish reference?
Yeah, that's good.
The fish rot starts from the head.
The questionable decisions by Babcock are definitely questionable.
I think I agree with that call on that last one, and not the host.
Which
you
one?
Think, like, say, okay, maybe 29. I don't know. Let's say like 28. You think a 28 body is better than a 21-year-old? I don't think there's any question,
no,
right?
Yeah.
You get bigger and stronger.
Of course. So what's the...
Well, he's a little bit more experienced.
Well, maybe he's beat up.
No.
Yeah, well, I guess it'd go both ways.
Yeah.
The fish rots from the head.
I think physically you knew who you were at 28 years old.
The thing is that kind of cracks me up is that we're listening to this, and if the shoe was on the other foot, if the roles were reversed and Toronto ended up winning, which they should have done, then we would be getting the same calls. They would be saying our team's too old, Chara's done, Cassidy can't win. It would be the exact same thing.
If they lost the game, you wouldn't see, you know, Cassidy outcoach Babcock. It would be this guy can't coach in the postseason. He's too stubborn. You know, he never got Bergeron off of Tavares. He should have started Backes. I mean, they won the game. So
yeah,
okay,
and I would say
on.
So. And if
there are two evenly matched teams,
and if Anderson doesn't give up those two goals in
the first one
period,
was ridiculous.
Okay, so yeah, the second one, I would say both of them.
The second one was what we call a snipe.
It was a he was sniped.
That was a sick shot. But I mean, Gardner just left it for him. He just spun around the
It felt like this. Just the air got taken. It's like as much as they were doing,
were
playing. It was like, are you kidding me right now? We can't give up this cheap stuff. We can't give them anything.
Well, see, that's the type of game, you've seen it many times, where you dominate the hockey game, and then all of a sudden it's one breakaway and you're down 1-0.
Yep.
And that's what that goal did, because it was like, I mean, how many times did you see, even like on Twitter, but you're just watching a game, how did that go in? Like, how many people uttered the words, how did that go in on Nordstrom's goal?
A little space next to the pipes there on the side. Just a little
I don't know. I still don't even know if it went under the arm, just through the space. Off like his
off
chest and under his arm. I have no clue.
Yeah.
But all I know is it did. And right there, that you know, they dominated to me. I mean, they were the better team the first 15 minutes.
But somehow the puck there goes just hit some lard on it.
Here's the amazing thing to me is that you're right. They played their ass off. It wasn't like Toronto showed up and the Leafs threw the towel in because Game 7 was too big. They couldn't deal with the pressure. No, they played a terrific first period. Now you're down 2-0. So you expect in the second period, maybe their heads are down. No, they came out and played a great second period.
They left some goals out on the ice.
Third
so I
period
felt like they should have at least been tied going into the second intermission.
I felt like that was probably the most balanced game of the seven.
Yeah.
I mean, because it just felt like, you know, the Bruins didn't show up. Toronto didn't had their way with them. Toronto didn't show up. The Bruins had their way with them. Last night, I felt like it was back and forth.
Well, it was a 3-1
game. It was momentum throughout it, but it was a 2-1 game. And then Corrali made it 3-1.
Yeah.
Forget about it. 5-1 final. By the way, you know what the over-under was?
Five.
Five and a half.
Oh, was it 5.5?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was 5.
And with 0.2 or seconds left, it went over.
So did you,
people were pissed off at that. No, I didn't touch it.
You didn't touch it.
I didn't touch it.
Good for you.
Either happy or pissed.
Yeah, because after that Crowley goal, you're sitting there, you're watching the clock and you're sitting there going, okay, when are they going to pull the goalie?
Yeah.
At what point in time are you going to have to make some drastic, and some people say maybe you did a little bit early, who knows, but then you just realize they have too many shots at the net, they kept turning it over, and somebody's going to get a goal on an empty netter.
But you can't tell me that in the second period you were feeling good about this game. You were because you wanted Toronto to win.
No, but here's the point. I still didn't feel good because the fact is that they played their best. I thought that Toronto probably played as well as they had played, and they gave you effort. You could tell that the Bruins were on their heels. You could tell that everything was working. Yet they walked away with nothing. They one goal.
Well,
okay,
yeah.
So I'm sitting there going, here's a team. I'll just use a football analogy. You got tons of yardage, but you're settling for field goals.
Yeah.
And it's just, all right, you walk off the field, like, what the hell?
Yeah, one deep pass, you lose 7-6.
Yes, football. Next thing you know, okay, they have the big plays. Or you fumbled on the one. They run it back for a touchdown.
Talk. I don't know. You want to talk about minutes, but through the first two periods? I don't know, Toronto dominated for most of it, except for maybe 5-6 minutes.
I think that's accurate. I think it's accurate. And you tell me, if Tuukka Rask had let in another goal in that second period, or let's say a third
good.
And you lose that game, what are we talking about today? These people out here are riding him out of town.
And here's what's good for Tuukka.
He was terrific.
We have an entire another series to criticize him.
he's right, though.
I'm serious.
No, you're right.
No, because this is it. It's like, you know, he was great in a Game 7 to move on. And we talk about this all the time, mainly in football, right? You can be good in the division round. You could be great in the AFC title. You could have a bad Super Bowl, and you choke, you suck, you can't win in the postseason. Right? So he was outstanding in Game 7. So if he's bad in a game against Columbus and they lose, it's... He sucks.
Well,
he can't win a big game. He just won. Last I checked, that was a pretty big game last night, wasn't it?
Yes.
And
I think it's even tougher now for Tuukka Rask in that the expectations have suddenly changed. So at the beginning of the season or at the beginning of the playoffs, we're all sitting there going, okay, get to the second round, lose in the second round because we all thought the Lightning were there, and then we're good, right? The crowd's good. Everybody's good, and Tuukka's not taking much heat. What do you think the expectations are today? Expectations today are you're the best team on the board. You got home ice advantage the rest of the way. You need to win the whole thing right now, or people aren't going to be satisfied.
Well, I tell you, my man,
expectations have totally changed.
Our guy, Boston Sports Info,
yes,
he sent the tweet out, sent it to me, and so this is Tuukka's last 6 win or go home games. So in other words, he had 2 of them this series, right? Game 6 and Game 7. So if you lose, you're done. It's 4-2. He's got a 2-1-2 goals against and a .920 save percentage.
Okay, take it.
And I know some of the numbers we had, like in game 7s, I guess those are all win and go homes, but obviously there's another one added in there where he's been pretty good. But that save percentage jumps up. You know, there's a couple other games in there and winning go homes that he's been very, very good at. So I mean, that's pretty legit.
So do you trust him now?
No. I shouldn't say that. I do. I trust him.
Oh, you flip-flop?
No, I do.
That's the quickest flip-flop I've ever had.
Victim of the moment.
I trust him.
So
but it doesn't
I'm going to flip-flop.
It's sort of like, I don't know, Gostkowski, do you trust him? But it's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I guess I do, but it's there. I probably have more trust in Tuca than I do in Gostkowski, to be perfectly honest with you.
So maybe this changes some of the stuff. I will say this. In the next round here, he's not the better of the two goaltenders.
Well, he was in the first round. Bobrovsky was great in the first round, but we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, I think he
hasn't always been great.
No, but I still
he's hit
think
or miss.
I still think he's the better of the two goaltenders. If you're giving the check mark, if we're doing the check marks and breaking them all down, who are you giving the check mark to?
I think
based
on
what you saw in the last round. Really?
Oh, here we go. Now you just threw all based on the last round.
Yeah, but that's,
you know, you realize he's really saying the last two games. Game six.
No,
and
other
game
than
seven.
Game one. No, for Columbus, other
you
than
have,
game
you have,
one.
I know, but you have, for the Bruins, you have game six, and you have game six, and you have game seven. And that's what you're influenced by. And I would say, why wouldn't you trust them at this point in time? Or what are the other options, really?
Because he's not consistent. He is not consistent. Just what you saw
but
in the game.
But I also say, I would agree with you, but what I've seen, based on my small sample size of gnocchi, hot gnocchi.
Gnocchi?
I was thinking of gnocchi.
Isn't that food? Isn't that where they do the potato pasta?
Yeah,
gnocchi.
It's all based on
this
timing.
This is hockey.
It's all timing.
Yeah.
He gets hot at the right time. He could suck the entire year. He could be up and down all year. Or he could have, you know, a month and a half of great games.
Not in the playoffs.
And that's all
that, playoffs.
That matters. And then you'll be putting him in the same breath as you would be Tim Thomas.
Yeah, but
he'll be revered the same way.
Yeah, but if he does this and he has a run, and they're carrying the cup here in another couple months around the Garden Ice, then people will treat him in that way. Right now, you can't look at him as Tim Thomas because we've seen this before.
They don't hold that cup up around. You know, they don't fire up the duck boats if he's not playing unbelievable.
I would say if I was Tuukka Rask, I would drive out to or fly out to wherever the hell Tim Thomas is in his bunker, probably in Colorado somewhere.
Yeah,
and I'd walk right up to him
North
and
Dakota.
I would punch him right in the face.
Yeah,
because he has ruined it. What he did in 2011 has ruined it.
It's ruined it.
Ruined it. The guy was ridiculous.
That was standing on your head for literally the entire series.
Yes.
Right? Literally. A couple games are a little bit shaky, but overall, that's standing on your head.
So saying the expectations are unfair, I mean, I'm sorry, but it just doesn't matter.
We're all unfair. I'm sorry, but this is what we do.
Exactly.
We're in the unfair business.
We're all mean. We're all mean. They're used to winning here, and you just got to have to deal with it. And suck it up.
Boy, wait till the Red Sox. You see Rochi today? Rochi very negative on the Red Sox today.
No, I don't believe it.
What does negative mean with Rochi and the Red Sox? He's worried.
He's like, in all honesty, how are you?
That's
how
negative.
Are you,
the
how
city
you,
is negative.
How are you positive about them right now?
The Red Sox,
you know
now.
You're positive? They won the World Series last year.
Yes.
Let's go Red Sox.
And I get that, too.
I don't hear
Oh, they didn't win the World Series? Oh, you're bitching about them this year. They won the World Series, Lou, last year. I'm like, okay, my job is to watch games and talk about games. You happy right now?
No.
I mean, you basically you won three straight out in Tampa. You erased it.
You gave it away.
You gave it away. Yep. What you did is you went 2-3 in Tampa, and you just split with Detroit.
And
there
you
go.
And the Rays are playing at home against Kansas City.
That's
and they're
going
to beat up on them, and they're going to make up a light ground. Alex Cora is going to join us coming up next. By the way, we can now tell you that the Celtics and Bucks game one has been scheduled.
Uh-oh.
Sunday afternoon, 1
Sunday.
p.m. Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
They have to play. They're leaving the door open because they're going to. I think the NBA is going to end up with one series over the weekend. That this past series, Game 7, and that's going to be Denver and San Antonio.
1 o'clock.
They're going to be left with that one Saturday.
What's the last time they played?
1 o'clock.
Last week.
last Sunday. 1 o'clock.
What a joke.
1 week.
And the Bruins are playing when? Tomorrow? Tonight?
Can I just get?
Come on in. Hey, we're talking hockey.
Can I just get a settle in around?
Come on, our guys here. Take a break.
Let me tell you something.
Take a break.
This is a day where Alex Cora may want to talk about hockey instead of talking about baseball.
Wait, quickly, get Christian out of here.
Get him out of here. Alex Cora joins us next here live at the WEEI Ford Clubhouse Studio at Fenway.
Small sample size of gnocchi, hot gnocchi.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Head to the bar, take everybody to the bar, and just drink all night, right? And then you play a game tomorrow night, you'll be fine by tomorrow night, right?
That's a real hangover tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Hey, we went 2 out of 3, no Christian next week, okay?
Oh, very good. Very good. I like that. I like that. But he'll look at it as another vacation day. Alex, good luck this weekend. See ya. Interesting. They won 2 out of 3 over the weekend without Christian. He comes back yesterday. They won all three. He comes back yesterday. They lose a doubleheader. I'm not saying it could be coincidence. Listen, it's a possibility it's coincidence.
Because it was 2 out of 3, not sweep.
Okay, yeah. I'm willing to, you know, take a, you know,
sit it out?
Step aside.
If go ahead.
You guys would like to run this on your own,
sure.
I believe I
got to
bathroom.
Be honest with you.
It's up to I still haven't done my taxes yet.
It's up to the manager.
I actually think that we should bring Dale and Keith back. They seem like good openers. You know, they get the ball rolling nicely. For you guys, you know,
Alex Score being brought to you by Arbella Insurance, Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. All right, let's start. It was a nice weekend. You took three. You come back home. This is a team that you're probably a little bit better than, and suddenly we're seeing another part of your game that's reared its ugly head, and that is suddenly a pretty good pitching staff for Detroit, but your bats are silent. Once you figure out one thing. Starting pitching, something else seems to crop up. What's going on?
I think yesterday, the second game, we just didn't get that big hit. You know, there was traffic all over the place. I think we had first and second in the first two innings. If you look back at the game, you know, like, I don't know how many base runs we have, and you know, we hit into fielder choices and double plays, and we have bases loaded with Xander, and he hits a line drive that is foul, and. I do feel like offensively, if you start looking at the at-bats are getting better, you start in Tampa, we start walking, and that's a good sign. You know, when you're controlling the strike zone, good things are going to happen. Yesterday, the second game, although we didn't score too many runs, it seems like the line was moving. Now it's just a matter of getting that big hit and have that big game. You know, we haven't had that game the whole season that we scored 10 and we can breathe a little bit and relax and just relax for one day. It seems like every game where we win in is a close one, and the other ones we're scuffling to keep the lead or try to get the lead.
Yeah, that second guy is effectively wild, I think is what we usually call that guy. That's not a comfortable at bat. He was all over the place.
And he was throwing 95 cutters out of nowhere. It's like you look at him in the video, and everything was sinkers. He's only thrown 4 changeups before yesterday starts during the season, and all of a sudden he throws 3 changes to Mitch, and that's who we are. You know, people are going to make adjustments. You know, they know that we have a good offense, and they're going to probably pitch us differently than other guys. But stuff-wise, if you look at it, it was pretty nasty. You know, he threw a backdoor cutter to Jackie in the first at-bat. It was 95, and backdoor it. So, I mean, that's what we see now. He says full effort, all effort, guys. You know, spinning the ball and cutting the ball, pitching upstairs. You know, no excuse. We got to hit them.
So you guys sweep Tampa over the weekend, and in those three games, you Workman, Brazier, Barnes all go. In each and every game, you pull out that, right? Use your three guys that have been throwing the ball real well. Doubleheader yesterday. Did you want to stay away from them? Because it felt like in that eighth inning after Thornburg, tie game, game one, I figured you'd bring a big dog in here, one of those three, because you had 9-1-2 coming up in the eighth.
Yeah, my plan was to – no, it was 5-6-7. We brought Brewer there in that situation.
For them.
One. Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about for you guys up next in, put up a zero top.
But I mean, the pocket that we had, we felt like Brewer could do the job. You know, he pitched well on Sunday, spinning the ball with a cutter, so all of a sudden he leaves a cutter up to Rodriguez and he hits it out of the ballpark. And one thing I learned a while ago, you know, from Tito, you do not chase wins because Danny's going to catch with you later on. And it was like, if we had the lead, Barnes was going to come in, you know, and we shut it down. But at that point, it's not only we're begging for a win, but we're not 100% sure where we at, you know, as far as the bullpen because of the usage. So it was going to be Barnes with the lead. We felt good about Brewer where we were, and it didn't work out.
How hard is that for you now? We can talk about chasing wins. You know, you're sitting there. The record isn't what it was last year. It's easy not to chase wins when you come out of the gate. This year, you know, you used all three in Tampa, kind of going for the wins there.
Yeah, I mean, but knowing that Monday was going to be a wash, you know, we had a pretty good idea of the Weather Channel, you know, we had a pretty good idea, and it just, that's the nature, that's the way I manage, you know, and honestly, we felt that yesterday that was a good pocket for Brewer. It didn't work out. In the second game, we pushed Lakins, you know, we're down by one. We could have gone to work, but, you know, what's We gotta be smart.
You had Barnes up at one point, right?
At one point. But you know, we played now what 18 in a row or 19 in a row without the Monday game. So you gotta be smart, man. And if you push it too hard, then you know you're gonna be chasing your tail the whole week, and it's gonna be tough. So you know, it just didn't work out.
You know, everybody loves Sale. Everybody loves the way he just you know takes accountability for his performance, good or bad. But I guess it's gotta be getting to the point of frustration isn't the right word. Like, what's worse than frustrated? Because it seems like he's just nibbling. And even yesterday's performance, it seems like, you know, with all those balls that were fouled off, without that, he could have had that sixth or seventh inning game. And then you could say, okay, there's that point and there's that game that you were looking for from him, yet it still escapes him.
Yeah, and then, you know, if you look at the game, we got the strikeouts, but at the same time, you know, it was a grind for him. And this is a team, they did it last year to him too in Detroit right after the All-Star break. I remember Candelaria, the third baseman, it was like 22 pitches in two at-bats. And is it game planning? Maybe. If it's something that they see the ball better against Chris than other teams, maybe. But, you know, it was a struggle because, you know, he had good stuff. Fastball wasn't 97, 98, but it was good enough. The slider was good. The changeup was okay, and he wasn't able to put him away right away. You know, it was a lot of foul balls. You know, keep grinding 8, 9 pitches at bat, and all of a sudden we only win 5 innings.
I got to believe with what you're dealing with the bullpen that you want to get 5 innings out of Velasquez. You got 3 good ones, and then the 4th inning, it just kind of unraveled. Don't you need to get 5 right now out of him?
I think his next one, he'll be there. Yesterday, he made a pitch with Miguel. He threw a fastball in, and he fouled it off. And then we threw a split in the inside part of the play. He got to it. And then he lost a slider to the lefty. And at that point, you know, we have Walden, who's been getting a lot of ground balls. And the stuff, obviously, was better at that point. We hung a slider, and then they scored 3. But I feel like Hector is getting there. He made, what, 53, 54 pitches? Yeah. So for the next start, most likely Monday, he'll be able to just go 5, you know, just like a regular start.
So you guys bring up Darwinson Hernandez, 26, man. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a spring training game. You brought him up for a reason because you think he can get guys out at this level. What were your impressions of him, and how close is he to being here? Impact.
No, he still got a few things to develop. If you watch the game, there was a lot of misfiring, you know, and that's his stuff is that good that in the strike zone he can get people out. You saw it. He fastballs up and away. He threw down and in. The breaking ball was supposed to be back door. He threw it back.
And he's still getting guys out.
It's still getting. So there's a process, and he still needs to get better holding runners, sequencing, all that. But I do believe, and like I said in spring training, he's gonna help us out. He's gonna help us out. It's just a matter of, you know, fine tune a few things and get it to that point that, you know, you can run him out there in any role, you know, as a starter, as a reliever, and you can actually don't have to worry about the other stuff. Just only execute pitches.
Is Craig Kimbrell an option at all out there as far as being part of your team? You know, with you know, adding a guy like that. I know there would be some issues luxury tax wise, but you know, when Glenn talks about the bullpen and guys being tired, the name that keeps coming up is Craig Kimbrell. Craig Kimbrell, doesn't have a job. Bring him back. Has that been discussed at all, or is it off the table?
No, not that I know. And you know, that's a good question for Dave. You know, I was the GM of a team back home in Puerto Rico.
Act like you're the GM. You have the GM hat on.
I can't talk about free agents.
Isn't it amazing, though? Aren't you amazed that he's still out there?
Dallas too.
Dallas Keuchel's still out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I want to ask you about Jackie Bradley Jr. because with the move you made, you may struggle to get offense out of the catcher position, but we know why you did it, because it makes your starters more comfortable. He's batting 134, 203 on base percentage, and a 164 slugging percentage. You talked during spring about him coming up with a new batting stance, and this was going to correct it. Maybe we were going to get a more consistent Jackie Bradley Jr. Looks like the same guy. What's going on there?
No, right now, it's not working. And, you know, one thing for sure, and Lou knows, I feel like Jackie, in the second part of the season last year, he was more conscious of going the other way. You know, just hitting the ball through the shortstop, off the wall, was able to stay in fastballs that way, and then whatever they hung, you know, hit out of the ballpark. James, Kenley Jensen, backdoor cutter, he was there on time. And right now, there's a battle right now between him being on time, catching up with fastballs, chasing pitches down in the zone. And one thing I always tell Jackie, you know, you can go to mechanics and all this stuff, you know, all this cool stuff that works for some guys. Sometimes, you know, it takes
time. Like the toe tap, which you get rid of, by the way.
It takes time, but do not forget that you're a great athlete. You know, don't take that away from who you are. You know, like you can run, you can, you know, backtrack the ball and hit it the other way. And sometimes we get caught up in mechanics and you forget the most important thing, which is see the ball, hit the ball, and then go from there. And that's something we keep reminding him. And hopefully, you know, today's the day that he hits a few balls the other way and just clicks.
Is it frustrating, though, because there are times we've seen him, he'll go on a four-week run where he'll bat like 425, and then he'll bat .120 for the next month. You know, if you could get a consistent 250, you'd probably be happy because of the defense. And he, you know, we know what he did. He came up with some clutch hits in the postseason. But is it frustrating that you can't get anywhere close to a steady bat from him?
And we thought that we were getting, and we will get him, you know, the guy from the second
steady?
Half, the second half last year. I mean, the second half wasn't the roller coaster. You know, he was very consistent. We took him out of the lineup in New York. We talked about a few things. One of the things was, like, be an athlete at the batter's box. And it took him, like, 10 days, 12 days, and he figured a few things down, and he was able to stay on pitches and drive it the other way. And he was very consistent. Hard hit rate. I remember when everybody was talking about bad luck. You know, he was hitting line drives into the shift, but he wasn't hitting the ball into the shift. He was actually hitting the ball in the left center gap, and that's what we tried. We need him to get to that point.
See, Jade, that's one thing that's always amazed me with J.D. Martinez watching him. He's so technical, right? All the studies, and I'm always thinking, this guy, he studies so much, he's going to get himself in trouble. He's fine, but I do wonder about these other guys with this launch angle and the search for this perfect swing, because it looked to me like Mookie stopped thinking, and just as you said, being a good athlete and reacting. Is that an issue with some guys, maybe not named J.D. Martinez, searching to be perfect with this launch angle and finish and all these other things?
I think it's an issue around the big leagues. It's something that if you take a look the way teams are attacking hitters now, you know, a few years ago everything was down in the zone. So guys start getting on plane and getting to those pitches little by little. What they do, they start going up, and you start looking at certain teams, and they've been very good at getting pitches up in the zone, getting on playing with them, getting on top of it, like back in the day, mm-hmm. You know, like get on top of the ball, hit line drives, and you know, it's that game, like they make adjustments, we make adjustments, you make adjustments, you keep going, and at the end, whoever makes the most adjustments is going to be better.
So I asked you about Michael Chavis, because obviously he comes in, first at-bat, double, hits an absolute bomb yesterday, he's got some pop. Is this a guy that you almost have to find a spot for in your lineup, given like the energy he brings? I don't know if you're thinking platoon at third. When he's not at third, he's at second. Is he in there more often than not?
I mean, it is a threat, and it's a quality at bat, too. And you've seen it. He did it to Alvarado. He did it yesterday. It's a guy that, although he swings hard, he doesn't, you know, so far, he's not chasing pitches down in the zone, you know. He might swing on the slide or whatever, but he's disciplined enough that he recognizes the next one, he'll take it, you know. We'll take the swings and misses, but at the same time, it's in a bat that, you know, he puts one in play and he can change the game, and so far, so good.
Is there something you need right now? Little energy lift? You get a lot of the same guys. A lot of times you get one of these guys that come up, they go on a little run, and you get a little energy lift out of it.
I think during the weekend we saw what happens when Mookie Betts gets going. And it's not fair to say that it's on you. You know, you get going, we go. But when he's running the bases, he's hitting the ball all over the place, you know, we get that jolt of energy, and hopefully he can just keep going.
All right, you ready for the Cumberland Farms question of the week? This question submitted by Andrew Brown of Malden. As a manager, what advice would you tell Alex Cora, the player? Give it up. Switch. Become a soccer player.
Do we have time?
Yeah, I'll add to that.
Yeah.
What would you tell Alex Cora, the player, if the team was not doing well? You've been there before, I'm sure, on teams where things have not gone well. Do you use some of that advice of how you felt as a player when you were on the other end?
You did that in New York, didn't you? At one point, when you're playing music.
Yeah,
aired out your own teammates?
But it wasn't music. It was actually a beat writer. They were just laughing after a game. It was a 10-game losing streak. 10-game losing streak, and they're just, you know, we were in Arizona, and
they were in a corner just laughing, like,
whatever. I get it.
The beat writers were laughing? Yeah, like, I mean, out loud, you know. I didn't like it. I just let them know, you know. But
so what did you do?
I just let them know. I said, hey, man, come on, show a little bit of respect. It doesn't mean that you can't laugh, you cannot play music, but right after a game in a 10-game losing streak, that wasn't, like, a good spot for that. But I would tell Alex Cora, the player, if his team was struggling, just stay the course, you know. Just keep working. Keep doing the things that you're doing. I will tell Alex Cora, the hitter, don't be taking too many pitches, you know. Like, they're throwing cookies right down the middle, hit a line drive the other way.
I'll add to that because I know, be more aggressive. I know last year at the end of the season you win, you admitted that there was a point. I want to say maybe New York had won. You were maybe in Tampa.
After we got swept.
Yeah, it was the first moment all weekend or all year, really. We were like, huh. How do you not get to that point now? And I know it's early, but are you at any point, are you going home here and you're going, like after yesterday, going, huh, what are we doing here now? Because it ain't going well right now, I'm going
to
be honest.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't a good day yesterday, but it was one day. You know, we got a chance to come here and start keep doing the things offensively that we did the last few days, you know, like keep getting traffic. And we were one swing away to get going, honestly, offensively. And yesterday it didn't happen, but today it might be the day. That's the thing. And also, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you have those two kids running around in the house, you know, you put this in the back seat. And then when you get in the car, you get back. Okay, here we go. This is what we need to do.
But lastly, real quick, Holt. Where are these guys? Pedroia, Valdi.
Holt, Nunez are feeling well. Nunez, actually, yeah. Nunez going to hit at 3:15 on the field. Brock, he's from the bat earlier. Most likely he goes on a rehab assignment during the weekend. With Dustin, you know, he ran yesterday. He hasn't hit. I think he's going to hit in the cage today. So it seems like he's trending good. You know, he's trending to where we want to be. And hopefully we get healthy sooner rather than later.
There's your Cumberland Farms question of the week. It's brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager. Submit your question for us to ask Alex Cora every Wednesday. I got to give it to you. You're pretty calm about all of this stuff. Let's see if you can survive the next week because Fourier is back.
I'm bringing back good vibes. You're back. Good luck. I bring back.
So what we got? What we got? We got.
You're good.
We got
you're,
two got, against the Tigers.
And you got Tampa.
Three
and then
the
you
Rays.
Got Oakland.
We got Oakland before the show.
Oakland.
How many?
Oakland.
It's Oakland.
It's Oakland.
You know what? Nobody wants to go.
7-1 the next eight. There we go.
Sure. 7-1.
Hey, lock it up.
There you go.
Lock it up.
Alex, good seeing you.
Thank you, guys.
Alex Cora, right here on OMF.
Yeah.